Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something proper. A concrete echo edit, an old school jungle arp swing from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and we're shaping it so it behaves like a real drum and bass device, not just a loop sitting on top of the track. The whole point here is to create that chopped, edgy, slightly haunted arpeggiated feel you hear in classic jungle and early roller DNA. Something that can ride over breaks, answer the bass, and bring motion without cluttering the low end. In a modern D&B track, this kind of idea usually lives in the intro, the breakdown, the tension bars before the drop, or as a lift between bass phrases. If you get it right, it doesn't just decorate the tune, it helps drive the tune. And that matters, because old-school arp edits do two jobs at once. They carry melody and rhythm at the same time. So instead of writing a clean synth line from scratch, you're taking a sample fragment and turning it into a musical percussion layer with character. That's why the style works so well in drum and bass. The break gives you the main pulse, the bass gives you the weight, and the arp becomes that moving top layer that creates tension, identity, and momentum. So let's build it. Start with a sampled phrase that already has some motion in it. You want something pitched, something with a clear note center, a short synth stab, a piano figure, a string hit. Even a fragment from a melodic sample can work. What you want to avoid is a long pad wash, because that will blur when you start chopping it up. Drop the sample into an audio track in Ableton and warp it so it follows tempo. For tonal material, Complex or Complex Pro can work well. If the source is more rhythmic and sharp, a simpler warp mode may keep the attack tighter. At this stage, listen for a sample that has a recognizable pitch and a natural decay. If it's all transient and no body, the edit will feel thin. If it's too dense, the arp won't articulate properly. What to listen for here is simple. Can you hear a note in the source, and does it still feel musical when you loop a small piece of it? If yes, you're good. If not, swap the source early. That saves you time later. Now slice it into playable fragments. In Ableton, slice to new MIDI track is the fastest move. If the phrase has obvious hits, transient slicing is usually the right choice. If it's more sustained, slice by equal divisions and trim manually. Once you've got the slices, build the first pattern. Don't make it too perfect. That's one of the biggest mistakes in this style. Old school jungle swing comes from patterned instability. So think 1/8 or 1/16 spacing, but with life in it. Start with something like 8 hits over 2 bars. Then offset a few notes by a few milliseconds. Not a lot, just enough to give it a lilt. Vary the velocity too. Every hit should not feel identical. What to listen for now is whether it feels like it's pulling forward without rushing. If it sounds like a rigid step sequencer, it needs more timing feel, more velocity shape, or more intentional gaps. Those gaps matter. They create that echo space feeling that gives the edit its name. At this point, choose your flavor. You've basically got two good directions. One is tight and mechanical. Short slices, trim tails, cleaner stabs, more staccato energy. That works well if you want something darker and more modern, maybe for rollers or halftime leaning material with a vintage accent. The other is wetter and ghostlier. Longer tails, a little overlap, more echo, maybe a touch of reverb. That's the one for jungle, eerie intros, and haunted breakdown energy. If you want the arp to act more like a percussive hook, go tighter. If you want it to feel like a memory drifting over the drums, go wetter. Both work. The wrong move is using a wet version when the break and bass are already dense, because then the whole thing turns to mush. Now let's talk swing. You can use the groove pool in Live, but don't depend on it alone. For this style, the magic is in the relationship between machine precision and human drag. Apply a subtle groove if you want, but then manually nudge a few notes. Push selected offbeat slightly late. Let repeated hits breathe instead of landing dead on every grid point. Why this works in D&B is because the break is already doing the heavy timekeeping. Your arp doesn't need to fight that. It needs to interlock with it. If the arp leans into the break with a little delay, it feels like part of the same system. If it's too straight, it can sound pasted on. Quick listening check here. Does the arp sit with the snare, or does it step on it? Always test the swing against the snare first. If the snare loses authority, the arp timing is wrong, even if it sounds musical on its own. That's a big one. Now shape the sound with a restrained stock device chain. Keep it simple and controlled. A really solid dry chain is simpler or sampler into auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8. Use auto filter to high pass the arp so it stays out of the bass zone. Depending on the source, that might be somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz. Then add a little saturator drive to bring out the mid-range harmonics. Not too much. You want density, not fizz. After that, use a QA to clean up any harsh pokey areas, often somewhere in the upper mids if the sample bites too hard. If you want a more dubby, spectral jungle vibe, use Simpler or Sampler into Echo, then Reverb, then EQ8. Keep the delay short and the feedback restrained. You want support, not blur. Keep the reverb short too, more for space than wash. And filter the tail so it stays out of the low end. So here's the practical decision. If you want a dry, chopped, old school edit, go with the first chain. If you want a more haunted and echo-heavy version, use the second. Both are useful. The important part is that the ARP stays readable when the bass comes in. What to listen for here is whether the delay tail starts fighting the kick or snare. If it does, the echo is too long or too full range. Pull it back. In drum and bass, clarity beats size every time when the groove is on the line. Once the feel is right, resample it. This is where the sound becomes yours. Print 4 or 8 bars of the ARP to a new audio track that lets you capture the exact timing, the texture, the slight imperfections, the vibe of the processing all in one object. This step is powerful because it turns the ARP into a real arrangement element. Once it's audio, you can reverse pieces, cut tails, mute certain hits, or reuse one phrase as a transition. And honestly, that's where the real old-school flavor starts to show up. The imperfections are part of the personality. If the printed take already has attitude, keep it. If it feels too neat, reprint it with a different delay amount, slightly different note lengths, or a more aggressive slice pattern. Tiny changes can make a huge difference. If the ARP still feels a bit narrow, you can add a second layer, but only if it supports the groove. A filtered octave up copy can add shimmer. A short ambient tail from the same source can add dimension. A ghost layer that only appears on fills can create movement. Just keep it disciplined. High pass it hard, reduce width if it gets unstable, and never let it become wallpaper. Now place it against your drums and bass before you overdesign it. This is the reality check. Drop the ARP into a section with your break and sub running. Ask yourself, does it sit above the snare crack? Does it leave room for the kick and sub? Does it answer the break, or just sit on top of it? That's the difference between a cool sound and a usable record element. A very effective arrangement move is to let the ARP play in 8-bar phrases, with the first 4 bars simpler and the second 4 bars a little more active. Maybe bar 1 to 4 is dry and sparse. Then bars 5 to 8 get a little extra echo, one reverse chop, or a higher octave hit. That gives you tension, without needing a full new melody. And in DJ-friendly DNB, phrase clarity matters a lot. You want the listener to feel the change, not get lost in it. Now automate movement, but don't overdo it. Small, useful automation goes a long way. Open the auto filter slightly into the drop. Push echo feedback up for one phrase, then bring it back down. Add a reverb send on the last hit of a bar. Tweep a high pass in the intro version so the low mid stay clear. The key is to make the ARP breathe with the arrangement. If every bar changes too much, the hook disappears. If the automation is too subtle, it feels static. Aim for that middle ground where the edit evolves, but still feels like one identity. And always check mono compatibility. This kind of part gets overwidened all the time. That's a mistake. The core of the ARP should survive in mono. The rhythmic attack should still read clearly. If it only works in stereo, it's too fragile for serious club translation. So collapse it to mono or check a mono safe path and listen carefully. If the attack disappears, simplify the effects and reduce width. A good rule here is to start narrower than you think. Then widen only the tail or a duplicate layer later, if needed. The rhythmic information should stay centered and solid. A strong concrete echo edit also needs a reverb arrangement job. It should do something specific before a drop, in a breakdown, or at the top of a second phrase. For example, you can run a filtered ARP through the intro, add more echo over the last 8 bars, strip the drums for 2 bars, before the drop, then bring the ARP back later with a different chop order or octave. That keeps it feeling like a signature transition voice instead of just a loop. And here's a useful reminder. In darker DNB, the strongest version is often the one that implies the tune without fully stating it. Treat the ARP like a supporting drum element with pitch, not the main melody to show off, but a moving part that holds the vibe together. A few practical mistakes to avoid. Don't make the ARP too full range or it'll crowd the kick, snare, and sub. Don't leave the delay too wet for too long or the groove will blur. Don't overswing it until it stops locking with the break. Don't use a source sample with no harmonic center, because then the chopped notes become noise instead of a hook. And don't overlayer with width, because it might sound huge in solo and weak in the mix. If the sound starts feeling overworked, remove a processing stage instead of adjusting 5 parameters. In this style, clarity often comes from simplifying the chain, not polishing it harder. That's a really important mindset for drum and bass. For a darker, heavier version, think about the arp as a shadow, not the lead. Print micro variations. One pass a little drier, one pass more damaged. Alternate them across the phrase. Let the break define the swing. Use saturation for density, not loudness. Keep the low mids disciplined, and don't be afraid of absence. Pull the arp out for a bar or half bar before the drop. When it returns, it feels bigger instantly.